Hi everyone, my name is Christine Beauvais, Feng Shui expert, and I'm going to be your host tonight. You are on the call, Feng Shui and Money, four simple steps to organizing your bookkeeping and opening up your money channel. And I also have a guest tonight with me, Carol LeBlanc, and she is going to be, I'm going to interview Carol. And we're going to talk about feng shui and money, how it relates to your bookkeeping, how important it is to be organized and set up so that if you have your own business, you can really step up your income. And I'm really excited for everyone to be on this call. And I hope that you had the opportunity maybe to check out my website. And if you don't already know a little bit about feng shui, I can just take a moment here just to tell you what feng shui is and how it can impact your life. Feng shui came to me after several career changes. It wasn't something that I planned on or knew that I was going to turn it into a career, but it was something that helped me transform my life. And what feng shui is, if you don't know what it is, it's about the understanding about how your environment reflects what's going on in your life and how the energy of your home, of your office, of the way you arrange things, the way you're sitting in a room has an impact on you. And when you are, when you are out of balance, maybe you have clutter or maybe you have things that really don't resonate with who you are, they impact our energy, they impact ourselves, and they can have an impact on our lives. And feng shui uses simple tools to look at your home, to understand if there's imbalances, where they're showing up, and how they relate to your life. So everything from your relationships, from money to your career. And when you apply these simple tools to your space, you can not only make a change in your life, but you're making a change in your environment that actually starts to set you up to open the doors to bigger things, to bigger opportunities. And one of the reasons why I'm passionate about tonight's call is that with so many of my clients, I see that many of them who work from home, have home offices, they have challenges sometimes, you know, arranging that office, but money comes up, getting more clients, building their business. And I've seen a consistent pattern with them. And a lot of the times I see that they don't have their office set up properly, but they're bookkeeping. They don't have a spot that, you know, keeps their receipts, a spot to sit down and do their books or take time to care for the books. And what happens is when you don't do that, you are blocking the energy. You're blocking the energy of more money coming into your life. Because in order for us to set intentions and to grow and to advance and to set bigger goals and bigger incomes each year, we need to map and strategize that. But what happens is sometimes, as an entrepreneur, we're wearing a lot of hats. We are the marketing person. We're the salesperson. We are, you know, the expert. And then we've got to write articles, and then we've got to write newsletters. And we just can't do it all. And we kind of put the money and the bookkeeping on the side because it's scary for us to look at our numbers. It's scary for us to think about how much money we're spending, what's coming in, what's going out. And I've seen this so much with clients, and I can manage to help them organize it, but I'm not the expert in bookkeeping. And my good friend and accountability partner, Carol, and I have been for almost 2 years now, right, Carol? Yeah, I think so. We became friends through a coaching program and started to work with each other, and we started to see how much our businesses we're supporting each other, and how much we were learning from each other. I helped Carol with her home and selling it, and Carol has helped me with my bookkeeping. And boy, let me tell you something. I can't wait till we get to the part where something I didn't know about was setting goals and strategy and how to increase your income. And when we talk about that, I mean, that really profoundly changed my business. And I'm telling you, my income is increasing because of that. And so we just realized that we have so much to connect and teach to people that we thought we'd come together and share this call with you, because there's so many things that feng shui and bookkeeping go hand in hand. So I can't rave enough about Carol. She is a CPA. She's a QuickPro advisor. She is a bookkeeper. And I think what sets her apart from many other bookkeepers is that she also is understanding the entrepreneur mindset. She gets the spiritual aspect of it, and she makes you feel comfortable even when you have bookkeeping shame, even when you haven't looked at your books and you have silly questions to ask. Carol has helped me because I didn't know really what a bookkeeper was and why was it valuable to my business, and she has taught me so much. So tonight I'm really excited to have Carol on this call with me and introduce you to her if you don't already know her, and teach you guys some really simple things that you could start doing right now, that these little things can really implement in your business and really shift the way you start managing your money. So I welcome Carol to the call. And Carol, come on and just let us know about your journey, about how you became a bookkeeper and why you started working for entrepreneurs.
Okay. Thank you for having me on the call tonight, Christine. I'm so excited to talk with everyone. I, like Christine said, I'm a CPA and a certified QuickBooks Pro advisor, and the focus of my business is on virtual bookkeeping services and QuickBooks consulting. And the reason why I've chosen to do that and not have a traditional tax practice is because I really love working one-on-one with entrepreneurs, and the best way to do that is to help them with their books on a continual basis, and also to provide teaching and training that I really love to do. I'm really passionate about teaching people how to get their bookkeeping done, and also helping people figure out what's keeping them from doing it, because the more that I talk to people, I just really discover that there's many things that hold them back, whether it be lack of information, lack of time, feeling like they can't find someone they trust, fears around earning money, and undervaluing themselves. And that is my favorite part, is really working closely with people and creating a safe space where they can talk about this and work through it so that they can get their bookkeeping done, look at their numbers, understand their numbers, and then use that information to really grow their business or become more profitable.
That's great. You know, Carol, to start off this call, I want to know from you, what is the most consistent fear you see when people approach you about bookkeeping?
Oh, there's so many. I don't think there's really one that that I see over and over. I just have heard so many different things, and it's I think that maybe what it comes down to is that it's hard to understand accounting, the accounting profession, and the IRS, and don't really set it up to be something that's really that easy to understand. And when you start your business, you have to do it. You have to learn how to do it, or find people that you can trust that will help you navigate through all the compliance that you have to deal with, and also, you know, figure out how to look at your numbers and make good management decisions. So I don't know that there's a consistent thing that keeps people from it, but what I guess I would really like everyone to hear tonight is that it's not that you're wrong or that you don't, you know, you're not smart enough to understand it. It's just that you're not really, it's probably not your gift and talent to do bookkeeping or know how to understand your numbers. So it's just really important to figure out what is keeping you from it and then, you know, figure out a way to get some help to get around that so that you can move forward.
That's good. And, you know, it's very interesting because I think there's similar parts of feng shui and bookkeeping. And one of the things that when people I always find say to me, Christine, I want to hire you, but my house is a mess, and I can't hire you right now because, you know, I got to get it organized. And I know that can happen with bookkeeping, too. My books are not in order. I can't show you just yet. And the funny part is, as I want to say to them, is, no, you need me right now. I need to come into your home and see it exactly how it is right now. And I think many of the fear, I understand from my clients, too, is that their fear of judgment, their fear of being judged because they have too much clutter, their house is not the way it wants to be, but my goal is to help them get it to that point. And the same with bookkeeping, your goal is to get them to that point. So I call it clutter shame, I call it bookkeeping shame, and people don't realize that as experts, we're not here to judge you. We're not here to say, oh, my gosh, what you're doing is bad. In feng shui, I never say that anything's bad. When a client has clutter, when a client, when they get to their home and, you know, there's clutter and things are maybe not, you know, set up as the way they like it, I'm not judging them that they're doing something wrong. What I'm seeing is that, you know, it's just reflecting to me that there's an imbalance here, and we just want to get to what's the resistance, why they're not, you know, moving forward. And I think the same happens with bookkeeping. And especially when it comes to your finances in your business. And the funny part is I had a program that I did a year or two ago called Money Makeover, and I specifically talked about your checkbook and your financial papers and your bookkeeping and your wallet. And I was explaining in this whole teleclass, which I revised recently called Define Your Money Style, where people were coming back to me and saying, well, Christine, you know, I learned a lot by the way that I was organizing my money, because I didn't realize I had no clue where my checkbook was. I mean, one gal really told me, like, I didn't know where my checkbook was, and you got me thinking, like, how does that impact my finances, you know? Or when I do my bookkeeping or when I'm, you know, doing my checks and stuff and I don't sit down and I do them in this energy that's intense and that's, you know, all stressed out, I don't realize that that impacts my energy flow. So in feng shui, you know, I really sit down, I talk to clients about setting up those systems, about getting your receipts out of the shoebox, getting them out of files, getting them organized. And lots of times, too, I hear with the mail, I see it with the mail a lot. For people who still use a lot of, you know, get their bills in the mail and everything, I think the biggest thing that I continually see are people maybe not wanting to deal with the mail, so it just piles up and piles up. And I always talk about, like, well, what is it that you don't want to see? And they're like, oh, you know, just the bills, and I don't know how to, you know, sit down to pay them, and or my husband's not doing them, and I got to do them, and it's so stressful for me. And there's a lot of energy blocks, mental blocks that are arising when you see all this clutter and they can't get organized. So, Carol, can you talk about how does someone deal when they just are so afraid to look at, when they're so resistant to getting organized with their bookkeeping? What is it on a mental block? Can you talk about that?
Sure. Well, you just said a lot right there, and what I'm thinking about is judgment is what you first started talking about, and I think that there's a lot of people who are really beating themselves up about the state that their finances are in, and you know how their books may be a big mess, or they don't, they're really, really behind. You know, some people are years behind. Some people are only, you know, a couple months behind. But whatever the state may be, a lot of people are really, really hard on themselves. And I think that, you know, if people could be kinder to themselves and say, this is where I am, and everything that I've done so far has led me to this place. The mistakes that I've made are part of my learning experience, and really stop beating themselves up and build themselves up instead and say, this is what I've done, and this is what the result I've got. Now I would like a different result than this, because this result doesn't feel good anymore. I don't know where I'm at, or I can't sleep at night because my books aren't up to date, or I'm really stressed out every year when I do my taxes, or I know that I don't feel responsible as a business owner because I'm not taking care of things. Whatever the things that they're saying to themselves are, you know, just to really just accept that and even embrace that, what they've learned from that experience, and then go forward from there. And I think one of the best things that people can do that are in that state is find someone to talk to about it, whether it's another business owner that they can share, that, you know, this is the truth of what's happening, and or someone like me that they could talk to and really kind of work through what is it that's keeping them from getting their books in order, and then, you know, try to move through it with support and accountability. That's what I recommend is a good starting place, because if you don't start there, you know, you can have all the best intentions and the best systems, and you're really not going to probably stick with it if there's something that's keeping you from doing it. It's just going to keep on coming up. And if you don't have accountability built in, then you're probably not going to stick with it.
That's some really good tips, and gosh, there's so much I want to talk about tonight, but I don't want to overwhelm everyone. But one of the things too is when we have, especially the guilt that shows up with clutter. You know, people feel guilty because they bought stuff, they didn't use it, and they don't want to get rid of it because they wasted money. There's a lot. I think our society puts a lot of shame around money, and what we don't realize is that we need to do kind of forgiveness. And I know, Carol, you talk a lot about journaling. Can you talk about, you know, like maybe like how someone who, you know, might have some debt right now or might not have, maybe their taxes, maybe they feel like they had a loss this year. How can they work on forgiving themselves? Because it's important that you work on that block before you kind of create a new system. Because if you don't forgive yourself for your past mistakes and understand that you can self-correct at any moment, so maybe you made some bad decisions in your business. Maybe you made some, you didn't care to look at things and you didn't find that maybe someone was taking money from you or you were wasting money on something. But if you don't take that energy and clear it before, you're just going to pull that energy right on with you. So, Carol, can you talk about some of the techniques? Because I know you've taught me some stuff and you teach some of your clients some stuff about the sort of the healing process, the forgiveness process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you mentioned journaling, and I really like to, I think it's a really great tool to break through whatever it is that is just really causing you to not want to deal with your business finances. So I recommend, you know, if you really do want to commit to having a regular system that you're going to set up and maintain, and then you're finding that you're not doing it, you can sit down and just write and try to write everything out. You know, everything that's bothering you, and you'll just get it out of your body, all this yucky stuff that you're telling yourself, and then, you know, try to replace it with some really positive things, like what are your goals, what do you want for yourself? And I think that another important part of that is to talk to other entrepreneurs and know that you're not the only one who goes through this. You're not the only one who makes poor decisions, or it's not that I don't even want to say it's a poor decision. It's that we learn by making mistakes. Our mistakes teach us so much. And if we can learn from them and then, you know, stay positive and keep going. I was at a conference this week, and it was amazing because I was there was this woman on the panel, and she was a third-generation entrepreneur in her family business, and her and her brother made a big decision to expand, and it didn't work, and it was 3 years of digging out of a financial hole that caused, but, you know, they didn't throw it away. They didn't, you know, give up. They just regrouped and kept going and persevered. And the more that you can surround yourself with people who can share their stories with you of what they've learned from their mistakes, you know, all successful entrepreneurs have, you know, a list of things that they've done wrong and made and learned from. So I think that's really important, to get a lot of support, surround yourself with people who know what it's like to do what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think, too, when we do have forgiveness, you let go of that energy. And when it comes to getting your finances, if you're thinking about it right now and you're thinking, well, where's my checkbook, or, you know, do I even know my numbers in my business? And if you don't, you kind of put yourself at a disadvantage. You kind of put yourself back into this energy of fear. Ideally, in feng shui, what we're doing is you're setting yourself up for success. And a successful person is going to have everything organized and neat. And I'm not telling you to be Martha Stewart. No, 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 no. What we're saying is, energetically, if you need to look at your numbers and, you know, because you've got to go, I don't know, maybe you need a loan or a credit card thing and you need to know where you're at, grabbing a folder and looking at it and seeing those numbers all right there brings you into a more calmer state. And then what happens is you're able to approach whatever, if you need to go to a meeting or something that has to deal with your finances, you become more confident because you know where they are. And I know the biggest thing is clutter and paper and tons of paper. And I've got my pilers and I've got my people who sometimes I open drawers and I'm like, what's going on here? And they're like, no, I know where everything is. But, you know, sometimes out of chaos comes clarity. But we really do, it's so important that you make an area that is designated for all your financial papers, that you have, you know where your checkbook is, you know where, you know, your money goals are, the numbers are clear, and it's important that you have them stored properly, because in feng shui, it's all about energy, okay? So if you have a goal this year and you're trying to increase your business, you know, 20 or 30%, and you don't have numbers written out and you don't have this clear goal of, you know, bookkeeping and respecting your money and having a system that works for you, you're blocking the goal from happening. And so it's so important. And so paper clutter has become such an issue that I really do encourage people to get to more online bookkeeping systems. And Carol, you're such an expert at this, between QuickBooks and Xero and all this. Can you talk about the best systems and if people do have fears about going to online systems, can you talk about the best ones and how to figure that out?
Sure. I think that people need to do what works for them. So first I'd like to talk about how, you know, I like how you say that people should, I understand why you say that people should be computerized and be online and paperless. And there's a lot of reasons to do that, you know, to keep your area orderly and know where everything is and be able to get it really quickly. And QuickBooks and Xero are the products that I use, and they work really well. There's lots of other accounting packages that are great too. But if you aren't someone who's going to use a computer, I want you to know that it's fine to use a Dome book that you can buy at the office supply store, which is called DOME, which has simple bookkeeping instructions in it, or even a spreadsheet like Excel spreadsheet. But the most important thing is to look at your numbers in a way that is not just prepared for your accountant for tax time. So if your tax preparer gives you a spreadsheet and says, this is what I want you to fill out, but you can't look at how you did on a monthly basis, which means income minus expenses equals profit or loss, then that's not going to really help you that much. That's going to get your taxes prepared, but it's not going to make it clear for you to look at it. And like Christine said, if you're on top of things on a monthly basis, you can get tons of information to help you make better decisions to manage your business. And you can also be ready if you needed a loan or needed to produce any kind of financial documentation. And what are you talking about, Christine, about were you talking about energy drain? Like, I'm sorry, I kind of lost what you were saying about.
Well, there's two types of it. Getting organized. There's two types of it. There is the internal energy that we lose because when we're disorganized, we go immediately into fear. And we start going into beating ourselves up because we're not organized. And then what we do is in that energy, we're kind of locked into it. Then we are trying to go and say, oh, my gosh, I've got to, you know, get to this meeting and talk about my money or even if you're, like, going for a mortgage or something. You bring that energy into the meeting. But when you're organized and you have a system where you have maybe QuickBooks or something that you can run a report and you can print that report out and you've got it on a file in your desk and, you know, you're like, wow, this month, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm up, you know, 5% and, you know, but I need this to change and I need that to change, or I've got some money here and I can move this money around here. You'll see how much you can operate from a different sense. But, you know, it needs to be both. It needs to be a combination of it physically being organized so that the energy can just flow and then internally being set up.
Right, right. Yeah, so what I find is people will say, I can't sleep at night because I know I should be doing this and I haven't, and I'm getting farther and farther behind. And so in addition to the time that you're going to need to spend, whether you wait and do your books once a year for your taxes or you do them right along, it's going to happen. It's going to take that time anyway. But you're really losing a ton of energy by having it always weighing on you because you're not doing it. So that's just a huge thing that when people, I find when people hire me to do their bookkeeping, a lot of times they feel so relieved. Even if no work has been done yet, they haven't given me any information, they already feel so much better because they know it's being taken care of. So that's a huge thing that can improve people's lives and their businesses.
Well, you know, Carol, I think what you do is you create a safe space for someone to open up the channel to talk about money. Money in our society, there's a lot of judgment around it, having it, spending it. And I know we're talking about this a lot, but that really is a big key in there because all that energy, that's really energy blocks. And when you are not comfortable to talk about it, especially if you're scared to go to the bookkeeper and finally because you've got what I call bookkeeping shame, and you've got a box of receipts and or you're going to the tax person. You know, I've heard some stories from other, you know, tax people where, you know, people are showing up with, you know, receipts and boxes and, you know, and the whole time they're there, you're just in this stressed out state. And that wears down on your body. It wears down on it. And let's think about this, okay? You're doing last year's taxes, right? So if you didn't have a good year from 2012, okay, and it's over, you know, 2012 is over, but we got to pay our taxes now. And you've just brought all that energy into, you know, the last 2 weeks. Maybe you just finally did your taxes or something. You didn't need to bring in that energy. And as Carol talked about too, if you're lying in bed and you're thinking about this continually over time, you're bringing that energy to your bedroom. So now you've got it in your office, and now you've got it in the bedroom. And the reason why I'm trying to really kind of just emphasize this a little bit is I want you to see how much it's really costing you not to have your bookkeeping done or not hiring an expert. And I know, Carol, you talk about this in your little guide. What is it costing you? Can you talk about that? To not having your bookkeeping organized. And I just shared with you energetically, but maybe you can add some more pointers to that.
Yeah. I mean, it costs you a lot not doing your bookkeeping in a timely manner. So doing it once a year is really not a good solution. The only good result that you get from doing it once a year is the ability to complete your tax return. So if you do it on a monthly basis, you can save so much. You save all the energy that you're that's draining you by not being on top of it. You can make better decisions about controlling costs. So you're going to be looking at your costs every month. You'll see what things you may have subscribed to that you don't need. Maybe you're spending too much in one area and you're, you know, paying more for a service than you need to, or you're, you know, subscribed at a higher level than you're even using, and you can cut down on costs. If your costs are high and you're not making bringing in enough money, you know, when you're looking at that, your next step will be to say, okay, I need to bring in some more revenue. So you can more quickly respond to changes in your business. There's also savings that people enjoy by being on top of their bookkeeping, like not paying late payments, not paying as much credit card interest by making their payments on time. There's more than just that, but usually you can find money to hire a bookkeeper in the savings that you get from doing your bookkeeping.
There are some things in life that are worth paying for. and you know, investing in a system, maybe like QuickBooks or something, sometimes we don't want to pay that money for it, but sometimes it really is a lifesaver. You know, what I want to go on to, and I think this is like the key part, because for me it was such an eye-opener. One of the things I always talk about with clients when we're talking about feng shui, and especially in our businesses, is setting up goals. And you know, there's a lot of, I guess sometimes people think goals, you know, sometimes are silly, they don't work, or, you know, they tried them and they never set to them. And I think the problem is because sometimes it takes a little more work, and we need to understand that when you set a goal, you're doing something different in your life. And so you need to kind of exercise it. You know, just as if you got to go to the gym every day to work to get those, you know, abs and, you know, work that body out, the same thing happens with a goal. So in feng shui, you know, the most important thing is having your desk placed so that you can see the door. You have a solid wall behind you. We call it the command position. But what we also say is that what's in front of you is your future. What's behind you is what you've achieved. So when you're setting up your office, when you're making that, you know, arrangement, you want to make sure that you have some money goals set up. And you, you know, maybe you have a check written out, or maybe you have each month on your calendar, you know, I've got to make this month like, you know, $6,000, and next month I'm making, you know, $8,000. Or maybe you have a program you want to launch, and maybe that program you have a particular goal for it. You want to have that set up either in front of you if it's possible. The other place you can put it, like on your desk. So imagine you're sitting at your desk right now, and if you look to the far left corner, it's considered your, there's a tool in feng shui, and if you don't know, it's called the bagua. And this is simply an 8-octagon-sided piece that you lay down on your home. And you can even put this on your desk and in an office. And the far left corner is your wealth corner. And if you need a copy of it and you haven't signed up for my free videos, you receive a copy of that. But just for tonight's what I'm talking about right now, if you put on the far left corner a little stand, I can't think of the name of what they're called, but it's kind of like an easel stand that's like the size of paper, and you write out on a piece of paper your goals. So if your goal this year is your main goal, $80,000, and then you have your monthly goal on there, you break it down or you put it in a big chart or however. I think Carol can go a little bit deeper into this. You have it there. It helps you to reinforce your goals for the year. And if you're continually looking at it and you're exercising your mind, not beating yourself up like, I'm not going to achieve it. It's there to be a positive reinforcement to get you going. You can set it up however you want, but you should have something on your desk or in your office. Or what I've done, too, is I've taken a notebook and I've put index cards in there and I write them up. I use red because red's an auspicious color. But you need to reinforce it. Because I'm going to ask her to talk about is setting up those goals. And what you need to do is have them written down and physically set up. So, Carol, can you talk about this? Because I think it's probably one of the most important things that I learned from you about setting strategy goals. And when somebody has a goal, and I'm just going to use this as an example, say they want to earn $80,000 this year, how do you talk to your clients? Because you're so good at this, and you really show them how what they need to do to achieve that goal from a bookkeeping perspective.
Okay, sure. Yeah, I like to have people do 90-day goals because it's just a shorter period of time that you can really look at and work towards. And so I like to help people set their revenue goals. So what is a realistic amount of revenue that they can bring in? How much can they bring in sales in 90 days? And so we talk about that and what feels good to them, what do they think they can do? And then we set the goal and then we say, well, is that realistic? Do you really believe you can do that? You know, is that way more than you have been doing? If it's way more than you have been doing, then it's probably not realistic. If you don't believe it's possible, then you're just setting yourself up for failure. So you need to be very realistic about what you think you can do, and then you can always say or more, you know, not really limiting yourself. And then the next step to that is to say, okay, that's my revenue goal, and what does that look like? How many customers do I need to get at what price to bring that in? And maybe you do a few different things with your business, so what combination of services at what price could make that goal? And just really kind of brainstorm about how you think that money could come in. And I think just doing that kind of shows you the possibilities and that you're really open to the possibilities of this happening. And then you need to take some action. So if you need this many new clients, how are you going to tell people that you're looking for customers? Are you going to start a referral program? Do you need to make a marketing plan? What's your plan for bringing those people in? And then you need to do it. And then you need to also have someone hold you accountable to that, because if you know that somebody's going to be asking you, did you do what you said you were going to do, then the chances of it happening are much greater.
And I know that's what we do for each other. I'll just show you that we're accountability partners for each other. So each week, Carol and I are meeting, and we talk about our goals, you know, where we're at and what we're trying to do. And, you know, every week it helps so much for both of us, because we can know that I have to report this to Carol, and I've told Carol, like, I've got this goal. And now, you know, there's no turning back. I've got to tell her what I'm doing. And it really changes things, especially when you're that solo entrepreneur, and if you're doing a lot of home-based stuff and you're not reaching out, you don't have, when you go to work, you know, usually you have coworkers and stuff. Here, you know, having an accountability partner really reinforces your goals. And I think that's the important thing, having it written down in a style that works for you. I think you had some really great tips there. In feng shui, I really talk about, you know, you have to create a style that works for you. So some people like pretty folders and pretty designs things. So you can even create like a little money box on your desk. If you know, sometimes I know it's hard. Sometimes we don't want to put things on display because if people come into our office or something, it's not very, you know, we don't want them to see what goals that we have, especially from, you know, if it's a customer or something. So you can even get one of those beautiful, you know, little mini boxes. They have so many decorative boxes. And inside there, keep your goal, keep your money goal as a reminder. And I encourage you to put an affirmation with it, because many times, and in my program, Define Your Money Style, I talk about affirmations and how you should put them with your money, because you can open it up, and when you're feeling, okay, I'm not at my goal, and this is not working, and this month's not going that well, you need to have a moment where you can reinforce that goal of happening. Carol, what do you have in tips for that too? About you talk about these 90-day goals, and what happens when we don't maybe achieve them? How do you help your clients re-strategize to achieve that goal maybe in the next month?
Well, I think if you take a look at, you know, ask yourself some questions. What went right? You know, what did I do that got me results? Because hopefully you've gotten some results. And learn from that, do more of that, figure out what works and do that. What didn't go right, and then, you know, figure out why you think it didn't work. And maybe it was just the wrong idea, it doesn't work at all. Maybe you can tweak it a little to get it to work. And then just keep tweaking it, keep working on it. And maybe it was not realistic. Maybe you felt defeated before you even began. I find that in my business, sometimes it is all energetic for me. If I feel like I'm too busy, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of pushing customers away because I don't want to get too busy and not be able to take care of everyone really well. And then I notice that the minute that I change my mind about that and I think, okay, I'm ready for more customers, and then I just take some action, make some calls, send out some emails, follow up with people who told me they needed some help in the past, it all starts happening again. So I think, you know, you do need to look at your mindset and where are you with it? Do you feel worried about the responsibility of taking care of more customers? Maybe there's something like that going on that's holding you back from getting the business that you say you want, you know? So just maybe having a conversation with somebody about it to try to figure that out, because chances are if you have your own business, you have developed an expertise, you're passionate about it, and there's just a million people out there who probably, well, maybe not a million, but a lot of people who probably could use your services, and so it's just a matter of figuring out how to let them know that maybe there's something that's keeping you from it that you need to explore.
Yeah, and I think when you take the pressure off of when you set those strategy goals, so if you set your 90-day goal and maybe it's $20,000 and you have this plan and you have, you know, I need 10 clients this month and I need, you know, 4 clients and I have a program I'm going to launch next month, you take that energy and you relax. And guess what? You can spend the time to just invite the customers in, kind of like Carol was saying, like, you know, when she's relaxed, the customers then can come to her energetically because, you know, she's not worried about this. She's got her numbers in place. She knows what she needs. And once you take that out of your mind, you open up because, remember, your clients need you to be productive and creative. They don't need you to be frazzled worrying about your money. And you want to show up 100% for your customer. So it's, I guess the whole theme is that we're kind of helping you to understand how much time and money you're saving when you put these little processes in action. And when you feel at your desk like you really are like empowered because, you know what, I know where my numbers are, I know what I'm doing. You sit more confidently, you start breathing more confidently, and your creative energy is flowing. And that is just a shift, and those are just simple things. Let's talk about, Carol, we've kind of structured everybody from the mental, the setting up, the organizing. This last step I want to talk about is the maintenance. And it's just like going to the gym every day. What can people do? How much time do they need to be spending on their bookkeeping? What should they do if they're just getting started with it? And then how does it, you know, how do they maintain it?
Well, it really depends on what kind of business you have, how much time it will take. If you have a complex business with, you know, the way that you have to invoice people or if you have to do, if you have a lot of bills that you're paying manually, you know, this can take you more time to do it. But a lot of people that I think maybe listening to the call are solopreneurs and service-based businesses, and those are pretty simple businesses to do the bookkeeping for. So I would say that at the very minimum, I think it's great for people to work on their bookkeeping once a week, to set aside a certain time, like a certain day of the week, a certain time that they just catch up on everything and know, you know, what bills are coming due and how much money they have in their bank account, who owes them money, follow up on those people who haven't paid, and just be doing those important things on a weekly basis. If they can't do a weekly, at the very least, monthly. Much more than that, you're going to probably not be staying on top of it. And then I think there's accountability. If you really know you're not going to do it, you need to have somebody that you send your summary reports to or send your Excel spreadsheet to or just somebody that you share it with and you're saying, here it is, I've done it, these are my numbers. And what I love about sharing your numbers with somebody is that a lot of people don't talk about their numbers and they don't share their numbers with anyone. It's like it's this taboo thing that you don't tell people how much you make. But I think it's a really powerful thing to do to have at least one person that you can say, this is how much money I made, this is how my business is doing. And when you do that, things change. You know, you take it from being something that you keep totally inside yourself that you may be judging yourself about to something that is out breathing fresh air. There's another person there that you share it with and talk to about it. And you will want to make that better. You'll want that picture to improve by just simply sharing with somebody. I've had clients that have really great businesses who are afraid of their numbers. And so it's not just people who may need help with their improving their financial picture of their business. It's people who are doing well. Everyone has this, you know, judges themselves or has an idea about that they should be doing better than they are, but you may be just doing fine, and you'll hear that. You'll share it, and you'll go, wow, I'm doing really great. I just, you know, saw that by not keeping it all to myself.
You know, Carol, you just reminded me of something that we've talked about and I've learned a lot about, and I think that it's really good for everyone on the call to hear. And that's about revenue and profit and how sometimes, because what you're talking about is sometimes we judge our businesses because of what other people are making and everything. But I've learned over the years that, you know, to be careful about that because not necessarily what people are making is considered, you know, a profit. So can you talk a little bit about that just to help people understand so we know the difference between revenue and profit?
Yeah, there's so many people that are like coaching and saying, you know, let's get you to have a six-figure business. Well, it's great to have a six-figure business, which means, you know, what they're saying is six figures, $100,000 worth of sales. Well, if you have $100,000 worth of sales, but you don't have much left over at the end, then what good is that six-figure business doing for you? So not only do you need to look at your revenue, you need to look at your profit. Your profit is what is left over after you pay all the expenses and after you pay your taxes and after you also pay yourself. So another thing to consider is that if you have what looks like a profit on paper, you know, income minus expenses, and there's money left over, but you haven't paid yourself anything, then what you really should do is say, you know, how much is the work that I do in my business worth? If I was to hire an employee, how much would I have to pay that person? Subtract that from your profit, and you may have a loss, which means that you're working really, really hard, but you're not making any money left for yourself. So that's why it's so important to look at everything on a monthly basis and figure out, you know, am I really making money doing what I'm doing? Is this really benefiting me, or am I just working really, really hard to pay other people and pay all the expenses of this business?
Those are really some great tips, and I know that these are great questions to ask ourselves because it helped me to realize a lot, too, in my own business, and I started to discover that it's something that a lot of entrepreneurs are not aware of. It's some this information they're not always talking about, just the last, you know, revenue and profits. And when it comes down to it, you really have to think about, oh, my gosh, you know, how much money am I really making here, and is it really worth my energy and time? And we don't pay attention to these things. We get caught up in everybody else's stuff, and it's so important. It's something that I really teach my clients that, and the way I do it is that your home is your sanctuary. It's your space that you close out the world. So you need to have a good foundation and not get caught up in what many coaches talk about, the shiny, bright object syndrome, where you're chasing everything. And if you can be responsible enough and pull yourself back and ground yourself in and focus on how can I be of service in my business, that's really empowering to you to provide a better service. And then by taking control of your money and say, you know what, it's time for me to get serious about my money, setting it up, organizing it, planning it, talking to an expert, you know, hiring someone. You know, Carol, in a moment I'm just going to ask her to talk about this, but interviewing people and getting comfortable with saying, you know, it's time for me to hire an expert. Why? Because I'm worth it, and I don't need to stress myself out. You don't have to have all this unnecessary stress. You don't have to have all this chaos in your life. And in your business, it doesn't have to be so hard. It just has to be, you know, it takes time, it takes effort, but it's clearing up these little things, organizing yourself, it's something I just am so passionate about with my clients, is that if you have a home that's beautiful and that's, you know, ideal for you, you have so much more in life than always trying to get bigger and get more. But you need to get clear on how you can set that up. So one last thing I'm going to say, because we're going to open up the lines for Q&A, and I hope if you had any questions, you wrote them down. But I talked about in my little note about red envelopes, and everybody's asking them. Red envelopes in feng shui are very auspicious. They're good luck. And it's very traditional at the beginning of the Chinese New Year to hand somebody a red envelope with money in it. And one of the big things I always recommend for clients is every Chinese New Year, which usually falls in the February, is to take a red envelope and put some money in it, whatever amount, usually in dividends and nine, and put it at the bottom of a bowl. I use my fruit bowl in my kitchen, and then you pour rice over it. The significance of that is that you'll have money all year round. You can also take your red envelopes, and as we talked about, Carol was talking about the strategy, setting goals, and you can either write your goals on a red card or write them on the envelope. And if you maybe are saving up for something, many times clients, you know, want to work with me or they want to, you know, buy something, they put the money in the red envelopes. But the same thing you can do is take the red envelope, write your goal, the amount that you want to make, and if you have to put the cash in there, you can put the cash in there, or, you know, you put the goal in there. But the key is that the red envelopes represent auspicious energy. So you're setting the intention and you're affirming it in the red envelope. So that's my answer to the red envelopes. Now, we're going to open up the call, but before we just open up the call and ask you to ask your questions, Carol, can you just let everyone know how, if they want to work with you or if they even want to just talk to you about your services, where they can reach you?
Yes, I would love to. You can either send me an email at carol@carolleblanc, which is just my first name and my last name, cpa.com, or you can go to my website, which is carolleblanccpa.com, and I would love to offer everyone on the call a complimentary 30-minute session with me if you want to just ask me your accounting questions or just have a talk. I would love to do that. So you can either email me and tell me that you are on the call, or you can fill out my contact form on my website and let me know, and then we can set something up. And I also have a free report that is it's all about how you can get help without giving up control, learn how to safely work with a bookkeeper even if you don't know anything about accounting. And it talks about what a bookkeeper does and some of the things we talked about tonight, plus some simple internal controls and quick ways to check if your books are being taken care of accurately. So it's really helpful if you want to move in that direction.
Great. Thank you, Carol. And I can't rave about her enough. You would be so wonderful to take up that time and talk to her, because it's really valuable to have that conversation and to, you know, get to talking to people about this. Just to let you know, if you have questions about feng shui and you want to, you know, consider work with me or learning about that, I, too, offer a 30-minute consultation. So you can just reach me at info@ChristineBeauvais.com. You just send me an email that you'd like to talk to me, and we can set up that time. So what I'm going to do right now is, if this works successfully, and you can ask your question, let us know your name, and just say your name, and if you're directing it to myself or Carol, what I'm going to do is going to put us in Q&A session, and what you have to do is just to ask a question, press 1, and it will put you in the queue. So I'm just going to hit Okay, so if you want to ask a question, just press 1 and then it will prompt you to come on the line. Don't be afraid. We'd love to hear from you. I know many of you have the same questions, so you can ask. There are no stupid questions. All right. What I do have is I have a question from somebody who wasn't going to be on the line tonight. And it's actually for you, Carol. And her name is Linda. And Linda has been running her own business for 3 years now. And she has not hired a bookkeeper. She feels that she's got a lot of debt. And she just feels kind of ashamed to hire a bookkeeper. So she says, what is the advantage of me hiring someone when I'm not even able to pay out my own debt? Can you talk to her about that?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I mean, I think that whenever you're deciding to bring someone onto your team or you know, commit to another expense for your business, you really have to look at, you know, first of all, whether you can afford it or not. I mean, if she doesn't have the money to do it, then she really can't do it. But I also, you know, like people to say, what is the return on this? So if I was to invest a certain amount of money every month, will I get that money back? Will it generate more money than that for me? And there's ways that hiring a bookkeeper can generate more money for you in savings. You know, maybe she can, you know, shift around the credit card balances to lower interest rate cards. If she's not paying them on time, she could be saving in the fees, the late charges. And if she thinks that by giving up the time she spent doing the bookkeeping, she could, you know, use that time to generate more revenue. That's also another really good reason to hire a bookkeeper if she is doing it herself. You know, if she has the time and she's doing it, then she really probably doesn't need to hire someone. But if she's not getting it done at all and it's not helping her grow her business, then she might want to look at how can she afford it and what is it costing her not to get her bookkeeping done.
Maybe, Carol, because I know you offer different things, but maybe also just having initial maybe like an assessment session with her or, you know, even getting structured, because sometimes what we don't realize is hiring that bookkeeper, even though you have debt, that's not like you're not wasting money. You're hiring someone to help you organize stuff and get your finances in better control. That person might help you to see something that you're not seeing. Is that correct? I mean, sometimes I think you can catch things for your clients that they don't know about that could actually turn around and save them money.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, instead of investing in having someone regularly, just at least talk to somebody and have them give you some guidance about how your business is doing and what you could maybe do differently to improve your situation. Definitely.
Yeah, because, again, I think it comes back to even with the way people are so, you know, ashamed of something, they don't realize that by having a conversation or having somebody come in and see it, that person is not emotionally attached to what's going on in life. So they can give you some breakthrough pointers. And by her, even though she's got some, you know, her business in debt and from what she's doing here, challenging, she can also see that she can't get her own way. And talking to a lawyer or CPA person can show her, you know what, you can make a couple of changes here, bringing a couple extra $10,000, and you'll get out of this debt in, you know, 4 months as opposed to 6 months.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's always good to get somebody else's point of view, because like you said, I'm not emotionally attached to her debt, you know, where she is. And so you can have someone that can look at it more objectively than you can, for sure.
Good, good. Okay. Has anybody decided to step up? You can just press the number one to ask a question. And this is for Carol. Everybody's always too shy to ask. You guys have questions? All right. Well, we're still waiting. Carol, do you have any other things that you want to add?
I guess I would say in closing that what I would love for people is just to really just, you know, feel good about where you are and get some help if you need it, and know that whatever you're saying to yourself or whatever your situation is, that you're not alone. Everyone, you know, there's lots of people who have the same struggles, and it is not easy being an entrepreneur, and we are not, we're not trained to know how to do all of this. And so there is tons of help out there, and really just trust yourself, what you need, and keep looking to find the right person, because accountants typically aren't always that easy to work with, and you're going to find many. I shouldn't say that. I don't know why I said that, but I just think that if you just need to keep searching until you find the right person who is a good fit for you. And if you keep looking and you need help, you'll find that.
I think that's some really good points, and that it takes time. Sometimes you might have to go through two or three people, but trust your intuition, trust yourself, that you can make that decision to find the right person. So it doesn't seem like anybody else has any other questions. I hope you enjoyed.
I think there might be one question. So I just got a text. Let's see. Keeping it on. Do you just press one to ask a question, Christine?
Yes. Yeah, just press one.
I heard to say it's not working, so I don't know.
All right, then try star 6. Up here we go. I'll take you off. Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, this is Renee.
Hi, Renee. How are you?
I am great, thank you. And I've really enjoyed this, so I appreciate the perspective from both of you. It's been really great to listen to and see the correlation.
Excellent, excellent.
I have two things. I have a question for you, Christine, and I have comments for Carol.
Okay.
So where should I start?
Go ahead.
Well, I think the question is, we just sat with an architect tonight. We are building a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if, from a feng shui perspective, can you look at plans to see, I guess, are there things that I could be doing now before the actual building or the actual plans are designed that I should be aware of, or does that part not matter?
Well, how far are you in the design of the home?
Not very. We just sat with him and showed him a picture and some preliminary drawings, and then he's going to take those ideas and take it to the next level and come up with some preliminary plans.
Right. So what you want to do is right when you're getting to when you have like a final plan,
mm-hmm.
is when you would want to, you know, call me or a feng shui person and start looking at it. Because we can't, it's too hard to apply feng shui before it's built.
Okay.
So they always have to kind of, you know, create the plan, and because then what we can see is there's a solution to everything, and everything will come into place, but it kind of has to be set in tone first. So when you have probably just when you're about to go to start to build, is mm-hmm. this to be is for renovation of something already existing or completely built from scratch?
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
Is it going to be built from scratch, or is it an addition that you're adding on?
No, it's right from scratch.
Okay, so definitely when you have it all, the floor plan completely set, then that's when you want to add the feng shui.
Okay, great, thank you. And my comments are for Carol. I've actually been working with Carol for 2 years now, and I am so glad that I have worked with her. She's been great. And Christine, you're right dead on when you say she's really easy to talk to, and I've shared things with her that I don't share with just everyone, and she has that sort of personality, very comfortable. But I think, too, it really was affirming for me when I went to my accountant who said, I think every small business, I'm just starting my business, or every business owner should work with an accountant. That it just makes the, or I should say a bookkeeper, it makes the interaction or the, it complemented his work, what he had to do, and mm-hmm. receiving her work. It just, it really all flowed nicely. And it's just been great. I don't worry about it any longer, but I do, this is one thing I've learned for myself is I'm very regimented now with putting my receipts in a folder and keeping track of my mileage so it's up to date all the time, because that was one thing I let go. I put receipts in different places, and just to try to find all of those last minute was really difficult and very stressful. Now I'm very good about putting things away, and then I just give them to her and she takes care of them, and it's a one big load off from my mind, and it's been great. So that's what I wanted to say.
Oh, thanks, Renee. That's so nice. And you just made me think of a couple things. Renee has a really simple, good system where she puts her receipts in a clear, those sheet protectors that you can put in a binder. So she has one for each month. So she has one sheet protector, everything for the month is in there, then she can put it in a binder for a year, for the year. And it's just really simple, but it works really well for her, and it works well for me when she gives it to me because everything's organized. And you bring up a good point about if you have your books in order when you give your books to your tax preparer, you have a big advantage there, because if you give your tax preparer a big mess, they're really only going to probably charge you so much money. They kind of have it in their head, you know, this tax return is worth this much. Well, if they have to spend all their time fixing all your mistakes and cleaning it up before they can even get to your tax return, they don't have as much time left to think about your tax situation and help you with tax strategy, because they're so busy cleaning up a mess. So if you give it to them really neatly, then they're going to go, oh, you know, let me think about this person a little more because I have this time that I can spend looking at it. And it really is to your advantage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for bringing that up, Renee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is the one that told me that. He said, I think all business owners should work with someone to do their books. Or, I don't know if he was saying all small business owners, or it was just such a nice compliment, and I just felt like you just sent everything to him, you know, via email, and we sent everything to him in person, and it worked out beautifully. And there was no stress this year for tax time. It was great. And I've heard all these, you know, stories about other people. You would hear, I'd hear people talking about their taxes. I still found that I didn't spend as much time putting my gas mileage in place. But this year, every time I go somewhere that's a business, I make sure I do it. If not that day, definitely the next day. And that's something I did not do last year. So those are just helpful hints for me because it is a lot. It is a lot, especially if you're just starting a business and you're looking at all of, you know, the different ins and outs that you're still learning and you have family at home or, in our case, there's family and then we're trying to sell our house and build a house. And all of that together is a lot. But if I take it step by step and little things, it just helps.
Yeah, and one other thing to point out about that, too, is Renee, like, you started out thinking that maybe you wanted to do the QuickBooks yourself, and then you decided, this isn't really for me, I don't really want to do it, I'll have you do it. And I think that's a good thing, you know, for people to go through. Everyone's different. Some people may love to manage their QuickBooks. Some people may love to do things themselves. And then some people may not want to do it. They know they're not going to, and that's when they should really hire someone.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's different, and you just have to find what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I loved Carol actually came over to my house and showed me how to work all of it. And I really didn't – I loved having her come over, but I really don't love doing my books. I really don't love – I don't want to do it. And I'm okay with saying that, you know. I thought maybe I'd grow into it, but it never really grew on me. So that's not really where I want to be spending my time, where she's so happy to do it, and I'm so happy to have her do it, that the energy exchange is just, it's a whole different, it's just a different exchange that's much better than putting stress on me and, you know, I don't know. I don't know if I'm being very clear on that, but it's just been great. So I just want to reiterate everything that Christine was saying about Carol and from my experiences with Carol. So,
thank you, Renee. That's great. And I love that you talked about how you went to your tax person and he was so grateful. And, you know, I think, too, what Carol was pointing out is that if you bring it organized, you got a better chance of probably getting a better tax return because you've got everything there and you're person doesn't have to go through all this stress. And we know they're all stressed out right now. Mm-hmm. And again, that opens up the energy flow.
Mm-hmm.
Money flows when the energy's opened.
Mm-hmm.
So the more you can open it, and also think about that exchange, when you're bringing it to that other person, how much you open up their energy. Because that person, those tax people right now, they're stressed out and tired and burnt out. And, you know, they probably can make mistakes, but if it's organized, you got a better chance of having a better return, and
mm-hmm.
that's just going to keep flowing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Renee. I'm so glad that you called, and I really hope that you have some great success. Is this a new house in the next year that you'll be building?
Yeah, actually, this... well, we're hoping for this spring starting and then being in before December, if we can.
That's exciting. Keep your fingers crossed for that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye, Renee.
Bye-bye.
All right. I can take one more caller. If somebody has another question, hop on right now. Just hit the number one. We'll take one more caller. Okay, well, I hope everyone really enjoyed this call. And if you're listening on the recording again, please feel free to send Carol your questions. You can reach her at www.carolleblanccpa.com. And if you have questions for myself, Christine Beauvais, just email me at info@christinebeauvais.com. And we hope you really enjoyed all this information. And My wish for you right now is that in the next 9 days, that's a very auspicious number, you apply at least one of the tips that we provided with you tonight. So thank you, Carol, for coming on the call. I appreciate having you here.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure.
And I wish everyone a good night. Bye.
Good night.